Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crap Ends, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo we just love to talk about. Emphasis on talk, because we just recorded an incredibly long recap of the Summer House Reunion Part 1. And now we are going to pivot all the way to In the City. My name is Ben Mandelker, and joining me, as always, is the lovely and hilarious Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Hi, what's up? How are you?
Oh, I'm just doing fabulous. Just fabulous. And next week, we have our cabaret in New York City. Tickets are sold out, but you can stream them. You can buy streaming tickets by going to our website, watchforcrappens.com, or going, there's also a link in bio on our social media. The tickets for the streaming are on sale right up to showtime, right up to curtain. And then after that, you can't buy the tickets anymore, but you can watch the replay for a week. So make sure you get your streaming tickets before it's too late. Otherwise, you'll just have to wait for, I don't know, who knows when. But for right now, go check that out. Join us on Patreon. We were quipping up a storm about the Summer House reunion. If you missed those quips, you want to hear what we have to say, go check that out. Patreon.com/watchforcrappens. Get access to the video, et cetera, et cetera. And let's just dive into In the City. I don't even want to wait anymore. Let's get right into it.
In the City. Here we go, everybody. Yeah.
Well, love this show for bringing back my little Trixie monocle. We've got a lot of,
we're out. It's cold in the street and we're here in the street because we're girls. Girls.
Are you noticing all the Trixie music?
Yeah, everywhere. Lots of Trixie music. I also noticed that this episode opens up in a way that like Next Gen New York City does, which is basically Bravo trying to explain wacky New York City to the rest of the country. It's like, look at this. There's people on the sidewalk. And you see, there's a lady on a bench saying, New York is a hustle, baby. All you do is hustle in the city. I was like, oh my God. I had no idea that that was a feature of New York City.
That was an odd way. I guess, are we going to do that now at the beginning of the episodes, or we just have someone being like, New York is nuts.
Bravo's just trying to,
under the ground here.
I know. Bravo's just trying to win back goodwill for New York after they botched the Roni reboot. They're like, no, guys, for real, we can put out good content in the city. And truthfully, they can. And they are with this show and Next Gen New York City, which is coming back very soon. So we see like some dogs fighting, and we see New York City, and we wind up in Georgina's med spa. And she's there with Lindsay and Andrea. And Andrea is getting Botox because I heard that there's something called the angry Lexis. And I'm like, what? Lexi is so sweet. She's an angel. How could you say that she's angry? They're like,
no, it's angry 11, not angry Lexis.
Oh, okay. I see. But why is it called 11s?
Because they're too.
I thought they were too tiny. I thought they were two lowercase L's. Why am I here? I'm here to get two Lexis. God, pay for this. But
literally, we call these the two spaghetti strands.
Okay, well, whatever you call them, get your Botox.
She's like, look right here. Do you see how it makes an 11 on your face? He's like, oh, I see lots of 11s. Huh?
So then we go over to the financial district, Fat Eye, and we're at Loverboy headquarters. And Kyle is trying on a Loverboy mock neck. And his team's like, oh my God, Kyle, it makes you look so elevated. Looks, you look great. You look great, by the way. This is a man
who's like, very pull off a mock neck?
The answer is no. A man can, but I'm just saying this is not
that. This isn't the case of that happening.
So he's like, I think there's still some time to get some input from Amanda. Does anyone want to talk to our creative director available to talk? And they're like, Kyle, stop pretending like she actually does any work around here.
I know, right? He's like, yeah, we're going to get Amanda's input, right? Are we still doing that? So they go to next door to Kyle's and Amanda's apartment, Loverboy headquarters, and she's in the closet packing because she's getting the fuck out of there. Of course, notice that she's not cleaning up her fucking mess. She's leaving that place looking like a hoarder lived there. But she's gonna take the shit she needs out. Excuse me, you need to either clean this house or you be the one to stay here while I go stay in a hotel. I'm staying in this shit heap.
I know that Kyle was so happy to get rid of all of that stuff. Didn't he put out a video this week about like, this is what my place looked like before with Amanda. Now this is what it looks like with me.
He did? Oh.
I think he did. I feel like I saw something like that, but you know.
And Wes should put one out that's like, here's my apartment before Amanda, and here's my apartment with Amanda. It's just more of a shit heap than it was before.
I know. So he's like, well, this has to be the most organized closet in the house, Amanda. She's like, I'm organized. It's just the stuff that I don't know where to put. I just like don't know where to put it. And then I cut to like this giant pile of like just clothing or whatever. So she says that she feels lighter. She feels better about the decision to leave Kyle. And, you know, she feels like this is what would be neat. This is how they could maybe potentially save this relationship. Except for the fact that you're also probably, you know, having sex with Wes on the side.
Banging one of his best friends.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, are you going to have enough stuff? Will you need a van or something? It's like, I don't know. Maybe we could pack up your car. I mean, it's not going to be too much. It's just like a month-long vacation.
So are you going to like surprise me? Like you're going to like keep your key and then just like pop in and be like, I mean, how's that work? Like, can I have someone over here? Can I have a girl? Can I have sex with someone else?
She's like, yeah, basically. Yeah. It's like, so how much privacy do I have? How much of a break is this exactly?
She's like, no, I'm going to show up at like 4 a.m. and wake you up like you do to me all the time. I was like, well, the dig. You see, it's like, oh, you never know when they're going to come with Amanda.
It's like, what? You don't want me here? I mean, I feel like you're more excited for me to leave than I am. Listen, nobody's more excited for you to leave than me.
Like, wouldn't you be excited if like the mold remediator came over? Like, yeah.
Yeah. So he's like, that's like the opposite of how I think this is felt. You're the one who wants to leave. It's like, okay, well, we're trying to figure it out. Like, spend time apart, but then we'll be courting each other and dating again. And he's like, yeah, something drastic needed to happen. I don't think we knew that, but therapy wasn't helping. So you guys already quit therapy? What? You guys suck. Come on, man. You can't just go two times. That's not how therapy works.
I think there was a side of me that felt like we could have kept on continuing and playing this like a broken record. So I give you props for confronting this like head on. And yeah, he is actually excited. By the way, she was not wrong. He is so excited that she's leaving. And he's like trying to act like he's sad. Let's not make Kyle a total hero here. He is so excited. He's saying, I applaud you for confronting this. Which is my way of saying that you should really see this through. So, like, take as much time. If you need more than a month, do it. Like, it's fine. I look like the good guy because you're leaving me. And get out of here. Bye.
Yeah. So she keeps passing. She's like, well, I guess I better take my sneakers in case I need to run away. And he's like, run away from your problem. She's like, from you, Kyle. You're already doing that, Amanda. Just fucking go. God. He's like, wow, harsh. I'm just sad, Kyle. Sad, Kyle.
So now we go to Rocco's Sports and Recreation. I wonder if it's owned by Rocco Despirito. And Lindsay's there with Gavin. And Gavin is like the nightlife guy. He owns that place, the Garrett, and the Garrett. And Lindsay's like, oh my God, I can't believe how busy this place is. Like, wow, that's amazing. And Gavin tells us, I wanted to be in the hospitality business before I even knew it was a business. What I'm trying to say is, I knew I could be douchey all the way when I was 14. And I remember having a party in high school and a neighbor came over the next day and he alerted me that he was going to tell my parents. But then he was like, well, I'm not going to lie. You threw a great party. And I was like, thanks, Carl. So anyway, yeah, nightlife guy.
Then he started calling all of the seats soft bar green. It was really weird. And there's this green. And Lizzie's like, yeah, one of my friends was like asking me if we ever hooked up before, me and you. Isn't that crazy? And he's like, wow. Oh, God. And he kind of comes in to high five her, but she thinks he's trying to kiss her. And she's like, whoa. Oh, my God. Is happening?
Well, no, he does kiss her. He kisses her on the side of the cheek. But he comes in like he grabs her head, but then kisses her on the side. But he grabs her head in a way of like, baby, let's finally make this happen. And so she's like,
oh, I was like, oh, my God, it's happening.
So she says they've known each other through Kyle for a lot of years. And she likes him because he's fun and flirty and messy. She likes his vibe. I like the short kings.
Well, she did have Stravi. Let's not forget. And so Gavin's like, I'm just making you laugh.
And I love that you get messy.
He's like, I do.
Like, we're giggling. And then when we're talking about Kenny, like, that was so funny. And I was like, Gavin, yes.
He's like, yeah, just call me Shooter McGavin. That's what they call me. And we see how last week Lindsay had this interaction with Kenny where she was basically saying to Whitney, like, hey, if you're moving across the country without even a commitment, that's a big deal. And like Kenny, you should know that. And then Gavin's like, guys, this is now a panel. This is a panel. And Kenny did not like that.
Yeah. And she's like, I mean, what's his deal? Because, like, I don't really know them, like, Kenny or Whitney, but, like, he was, like, kind of treating me like I'm some sort of man-eater just because I was taking his girlfriend's, like, perspective.
And so we see the whole thing where she's like, wait, this girl moved across the country for you? That's pretty serious. And him being like, I'm getting I hate men vibes.
He's so fragile because, by the way, there was no I hate men vibes from that whatsoever.
No.
And literally, Lindsay loves men. Like, I don't know, like, where, like, it is so this kind of guy, a VC guy to, like, to a fragile VC guy to, like, basically pull that conclusion out of that. And he, by the way, and by him doing that, he is the one who gives credence to the people who are men haters, right?
Well, he's just like a typical douchey guy who's so fragile. It's like, oh no, a woman spoke to me. Oh no, I'm getting a hate men vibes.
Wow, geez. I can't even say anything anymore.
So Gavin's like, well, he probably knows what you're saying is true and he wants to discredit you. And she's like, you think I struck a nerve? And he's like, well, he's my best friend, but he can dish it out, but he really can't take it. So then we go to Kenny and Whitney on the streets together. And she's like, I can't believe my stuff's going to be here this week already. Isn't that crazy? Because, like, I sent it last week, but then, like, it's coming this week. It's, like, nuts how mail works.
He's like, I know. It's like, we really need to figure out where everything is going to go, mister. And then we see, like, a flashback, which means we get that subway car transition that they built for it, which is so funny that they're, like, really committing to that, which is, like, we're seeing the flashback as if we're seeing it through the window of a subway car, and then the subway car, it, like, zooms in. I'm like, who built that ridiculous effect? And they're going to use it all season. So, but I do sort of love it. It's just like how it slowly disappears off to the corners of the screen. It is so silly. So we see them in his apartment, and she's like, Kenny, I have like 30 boxes coming in from Minnesota. And he's like, oh my God, 30 boxes? Yeah, because I don't really repeat outfits. So, like, we're going to need a closet. We need a room for every outfit that I have.
I'm not an outfit repeater. And he's like, I mean, listen, I'm down to let you do your thing in the second bedroom, but, like, I still want to have a guest room. Like, I mean, what if your sister comes to town, you know, and to DJ, or, like, Gavin, like, he stayed in that room. And she's like, yeah, well, we kicked Gavin out, remember? Like, he can't just walk in whenever he wants. And he's like, well, Gavin's always had a code to my apartment. He's my bro. Like, he just shows up, you know? Like, it's like he lives there, but he doesn't. But, like, that's changed. A pair of boobies walked in, the code changed. Isn't that crazy?
We used to have a perfect friend sitcom situation. People just walk in the front door, which is unlike any other real life apartment, but it was actually a real thing for me. And now, Lamy McMinnesota face here ruined everything. So thanks a lot, Whitney.
Typical woman. She comes in, immediately gets a vote.
All of a sudden she wants space in the place that she's moving in on. God, I don't understand these women. They're crazy demands.
So he's like, how's your adjustment to the city? Which is very, very natural, Kenny. Very natural. Very natural reality TV talk. You live together, Kenny, remember? And she's like, well, it's been really nice, but, like, I'm missing my girls, you know? Because, like, it's weird, like, trying to make new friends, like, at this stage of life, you know? Like, I did go get that pedicure with that girl named Danielle, so I guess that was something.
And we see her. Weird.
She kept talking about an app, and, like, she kept pulling out of her lap. She kept pulling out her laptop and stuff, and then saying pie chart over and over again.
And we see Whitney barely tolerating this pedicure scene that she had to shoot with Danielle, where Danielle, they're sitting there, and Danielle's like, "Oh man, finally, Kenny, like, this woman is amazing because, like, this is cool." And Whitney's like, oh, so you've known him for a while or so? He's like, yeah, through Gavin. Yeah, oh my God, I can't believe we're having pedicures. Isn't this the best? And Whitney is like, why did they give me the junior lawyer in the firm? I want a partner.
Yeah. She's like, I really wanted to be on TV again, but not this bad.
Like, I've been on The Bachelor, so, like, why are they giving me, like, the JV level reality star of this show right now?
So she's like, yeah, I was, like, really nice with that girl, but then, like, I learned some things about her relationship I didn't realize. I mean, I thought her and Owen had been together a really long time, right? But they only started dating in April, and he's been in the process of a divorce, you know, and that can linger. And she was saying, like, it was amicable, and then it cuts to Danielle. She's like, but then she found out about me, and, like, I think, like, she's not been as friendly, you know.
So Kenny's like, so like, when did the relationship end? And did the next door neighbor come over whenever he wanted, like a great sitcom? She's like, well, I can't really remember exactly, but she did tell me that, he had been kind of checked out of that relationship for a while. And Kenny's like, oh, sounds like overlap. Stupid women.
So then we go back to Lindsay and Gavin gossiping, and Gavin's like, so what do you think about Danielle's boyfriend? Are you going to get to know him? And she's like, that's kind of weird. Cause like, I don't even want to know her. So it's like weird if I don't get to know him, if I don't get to know her. Like, I don't want to know her. Fuck her. And fuck now him too. Isn't that the guy wearing an ascot in like the opening pictures of this show?
That guy, I cannot take this Owen guy seriously when he shows up in his press photos wearing an ascot. I'm sorry. It killed it for me.
So then all of a sudden, time for a special cameo, everyone. It's Robert, Danielle's ex. He's like, hello, didn't realize there was a VIP in the house. And she's like, oh my God, it's Dave from Garfield. So nice to see you. He's like, great to see you too. And he is the head chef at Rocco's. And Gavin's wow, you didn't know that Robert worked here? That's crazy. And so Gavin's like, okay, Lindsay, whose side are you on, Robert or Danielle's? I mean, this guy really is messy. Wow.
Yeah, he really is. And
she's like, I don't like really talk to Danielle anymore. There's like a history and like I keep giving her passes. And Robert's just like, yeah, I don't want to know. I do not care. I'm just trying not to ever think of that woman again. But thanks. Enjoy the skee ball and the little sliders. Okay. I'm killing it. Okay.
Here's some bacon wrapped bacon. Enjoy yourself. I love being a chef. So Robert,
if you have anything else to say, say it to my pig tattoo.
She goes, wait, Robert's a chef here? He's like, oh, you didn't know this, Lindsay? Oh, I mean, I was like, is this going to be a problem? And I feel like there's a lot that I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of history between Danielle and I. And like at least once a year, she does something. And then I have given her a pass after pass. I'm like a quarterback at this point. And she's like, asked me to go to coffee. And I was like, no.
Maybe if it was a wine, which is what mom's like.
Straight through and rosé.
Yeah, she's back to that this season, which is really funny.
It's 1 o'clock, baby's down, it's a wine time.
So Gavin's like, so was she trying to just give you an olive branch? She's like,
I do not need an olive branch from a person that resembles the Olive Garden, so no thank you. That girl can take her unlimited breadsticks and hike up another tree, okay?
I don't need an olive branch for someone who dresses like she works at a Wells Fargo branch.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
We go back to Kenny and Whitney, and Kenny is like, you know what? It's wild to me. We've got
no offense, Natasha, at Wells Fargo.
I don't do my banking work, so I can take all the shots I want.
No offense to our business account manager, Natasha, at the Wells.
Kenny is like, God, Whitney, it's wild to me. We've got Danielle that's dating a guy, and the guy's still married. Lindsay, who had a baby with a guy after 2 months. Slut! And then Lindsay's interrogating me about us moving in together after hanging out for a year. And her and Gavin were like laughing and making a joke of what I was like going through with my mom.
Oh God, you were such a wuss. First of all, she didn't interrogate you. She said, wow, that girl's moving here for you after just this short amount of time. Don't fuck it up because that's a serious thing for a woman. And now you're freaking out and now you're going to bring up your mother's death to use as a weapon against everybody else. Yeah, that's really fucking classy, dude.
Exactly. And as our note taker, Shelby, noted that he couldn't even say that we dated for a year. He was like, we just hung out for a year. So how serious is this?
Because they didn't. They did. They've only been together for like a month. That was the point. He was like, yeah, well, that was why he's mad, because they started dating, but then his mom, I guess he explains this later, his mom was going through stuff. And he's like, yeah, it was one of the stages of grief. And that's what Gavin was making fun of him. He's like, yeah, you know, the stages of grief, denial, anger, fucking around, you know, sleeping around with people. And they laughed. And now he's all offended.
And it was actually Gavin was just making a very benign joke, I think. And but Kenny is very sensitive about like being labeled a fuckboy, because that's what fuckboys do. They're very sensitive about their image because in order to engage in the fuckboy sciences, you have to maintain a certain image of yourself. And if that image gets damaged, then the fuckboyery falls apart. So
look like a fuckboy. You have to look like you're willing to be a boyfriend of somebody. So yes. You keep getting girls to fuck. Okay.
Yes.
And also, didn't you just tell us last week that you have a secret feed in the Gavin's restaurant so you can tell when hot girls are there? Wouldn't want people to think you're a fuckboy.
I forgot. He's like, he just rubbed me the wrong way. He goes, if anybody in this scenario knows what I went through and could have had my back, it would have been Gavin. So he talked about how his mom had cancer, which obviously is very, very sad. And it was a very difficult time. And that's why he broke up with Whitney in that moment, because he just felt like he couldn't, I guess, give himself to someone else at that moment. So Whitney's like, you know, sometimes this can happen in dynamics of best friends, and like someone getting in a relationship when the another one isn't, like, does he feel like you're not spending as much time with him? He's like, I don't know. And like, that's maybe why he's saying these comments. So Kenny's like, well, he's just so bad at using his words. And it's like, I would never know until something blows up. I'm like, so are you saying that he's bad? He doesn't really know how to articulate himself and how to express himself. But at the same time, you're also saying, wow, he's really using his words in a hurtful way. So which one is it? Are his words intentional or not?
Well, also, he had no problem joking about you with you and using his words and saying exactly what he meant. But you're the one sitting here crying about it and refusing to speak to him about it and trying to make up all of this. You're the one who can't use your words, Kenny, you big fucking baby. I cannot believe how quickly this guy became the biggest villain. And also, Bravo is just trolling us at this point. How many shows do we have right now that are just about dick bag men? We've got Below Deck. Wait, always. First of all, what's even Below Deck? Well, we've got Rhode Island, which I think is, I don't think it's completely in that lane yet.
Those guys aren't fuckboys. Those are just like blatant cheaters.
But we've got Below Deck.
Like old school.
Yeah, we've got Below Deck, infuriating men. Then we've got What's on Tuesdays?
Summer House.
House, West, Jesse. Then we've got Ben.
The Valley.
Then on this show, we've got this guy. Then we've got The Valley, which is Danny at the moment. Danny and Jesse Lolly is still not out of the clear in my eyes. And then you've got What's Next?
Southern Hospitality. Southern Hospitality is somehow showcasing the best in male behavior.
I mean, we've got Justin on that show, but he's somewhat well behaved right now. But like, so that's five shows in 1 week with absolute dickbag men. I mean, at this point, they're just like, let's just cast toxic men to piss people off.
Well, the good news is the McBee dynasty is coming back, so that should probably
that'll even that it out.
Trend. That'll fix everything up. Okay, so we go over to Lindsay's apartment. Gemma, the true star of this show, and I will rarely ever say that about a baby, but like, let's be honest, Gemma is the star here. She's climbing.
Let's be honest, you're saying that because you're terrified of Gemma already, because you know terrified. How Lindsay can be, and you're terrified of Gemma coming up to you and telling you off in baby speak, because she'll do it too.
Good for her. Yeah. Like, I think if more babies were terrifying like that, I would really enjoy them more. Like, I just need babies to act like the gay icons they should be.
Yeah, earn some respect, like, you goddamn boring baby.
Like an authoritative woman. That's what I love.
Yeah.
So Gemma's climbing around and Georgina comes over with her daughter and she's like, oh, well, I'm here. I'm sorry. I smell like Botox. Anyway, God, if there was a first aid kit for mothers, a bottle of champagne would be in there. 1 o'clock. Am I right? Were there any episodes of Cougar Town on? Okay.
Oh, does Botox smell? I've never smelled Botox. This is such a funny scene to me because they're so like, okay, we're like moms. Okay. That's our inspiration. Okay. So just come in. She's like, oh my God, being a mom. Right. And Lindsay's like, yeah, like it's 1 o'clock cause I'm a mom and that's what moms do. She's like, yeah, I like wine too. Cause we're moms. Yeah. Moms like wine. She's cracking up. Lindsay's really playing it up on this show and it's cracking me up. So, Georgina's like, oh my God, having these kids, like you're dealing with something stupid at all time. Like one of my kids the other day, they were out like coloring and it got really quiet. And I go in there, he's colored his penis blue. I mean, you fucking idiot. Now I have to deal with this fucking blue penis. I mean, come on. I mean, I know some like non-toxic organic paint. I am a mom, but still, like, probably not the best thing to do to your scrotum.
Thank God she's a dermatologist. So Lindsay's like,
I mean, I look at you having two kids and I think I might be just good with a one and done.
And she's like, yeah, one and done. You did it right.
I mean, honestly, I don't even know how, like, I would have gotten through this without you, Georgina. Like, I couldn't have done it. Like, I mean, I don't have, like, any other friends who are, like, in similar situations. Like, over the summer, like, no one fucking knew anything about how I was dealing with what I was doing with, like, with legal and stuff. And, like, no one at the summer house could even understand. Like, nobody even has kids.
So basically, she's talking about mediation with her ex. And how they're just trying to figure out all this shit. You have to make all these decisions for Gemma's entire future. And she's hoping that they can just get through this sooner rather than later. And it can just be like a document that lives in the drawer right by the condoms.
Because I'm not using those either.
Just need to point out, this is extremely smart of Lindsay to be doing this. And we don't see this kind of thinking a lot on these shows. So I think it's important to point it out. When you have a child with somebody, to not just be like, oh, I just trust that you're always going to do the right thing. It's like, no, we are making a legal document. You are raising this child, and this is what you're going to be expected to do, period. So good for her.
Yeah. And then Georgina's like, oh my God, it's so funny because like when I was going through this, like I was still hoping like it would work out. And so I put into the custody agreement that like we all had to hang out for like 3 hours every week, like just have like a 3 hour family time, just like forced family time. And the lawyer was like, yeah, you can't do that. Is that crazy? So then I painted the lawyer's dick blue. I don't know why I did that. It was just weird. It was very awkward. I almost got thrown out of the office.
But yeah, the lawyer was like, you can't force somebody to hang out with you. I tried it.
Relationship with my ex, Bobby, is in like a really good place right now. I mean, obviously it's taken a lot to get there because this is the guy who moved out on me when I was 30 weeks pregnant and had a toddler to raise. Not bitter. Anyway, I've made a conscious effort to put that aside, the hatred, and just focus on what's going to be best for my kids, which apparently is wiping off the blue paint from their scrotums. Oh my God, I'm happy. Everything's fine.
No, I'm no parent. But, you know, on a parenting show, I get to judge your parenting anyway. Sorry, suckas. I don't know that your children being around somebody that would abandon them when you're 30 weeks pregnant is great anyway. So I don't know that that's best for your children. Everybody says that it's best to have both parents there. Really? Have you met both of the parents?
Yeah.
Because this jackass left when I was 30 something weeks pregnant. So
yeah.
And raising his toddler at the same fucking time. No.
And then she's like, oh my God. She's like sniffs like Eloise's diaper. And then like Lindsay's like, oh my God, did she poop? She's like, no, she just farts a lot. So now we go over back to the garret. Cheers. This place is Cheers. And that's the place that Gavin owns. And we've got, it's boys night. Kenny, Gavin, Andrea, Yvonne's husband, Nick, Kyle. They're all there to bro it out in a very small New York City bar on the second floor in the West Village.
So Kyle's like, hey, Whitney witnessed a boys night yet? And Gavin's like, oh, she's witnessed a lot. That's the problem. Kenny goes, yeah, I mean, I'm cleaning my act up, so she hasn't witnessed a whole lot. But, you know, she does have an alter ego named Claire. And then we see Claire, and you guys are not going to believe this, but Claire is a white woman twerking. No one saw that one coming, okay?
But, like, I love Whitney making her saucy alter ego named Claire.
Claire.
I mean, like Beyonce is like, I become Sasha Fierce. Everyone's like, I become Monica. I become Veronica. I become, you know, like Christina. Like that. But she's just like, I'm Claire.
You know, I have a boutique in the mall that gives preteens their first piercings. You know, it's fun. It's fun. Wild Claire. Two for ones.
My name is Alexandra, but my alter ego is Jan. Like, oh.
So he says that she has a really good friend group in LA. So this is really hard. And it's really difficult when you're trying to introduce your girlfriend and have her welcomed by a group of girls. And there's that one girl that's causing all this drama. Like last time we were here, Lindsay was hammering me. I'm just like, Lindsay, we don't even know each other. You're coming in hot.
Oh my God.
You're such a wuss. Seriously. What an absolute wuss, this guy.
Oh my God. I hope his parents are spending $30,000 to enroll him in the nursery school he belongs in. Why are you such
Jesus.
This guy is like, oh my God, there's this one girl kind of causing all the drama. It was actually like one comment and it's you going around talking to everyone about like, can you believe she said this to me? Can you believe she said this to me? You're the one who's causing the drama. Lindsay was just saying, hey, like treat your woman right. And the fact that you are so fragile that you can't deal with a single woman who is even like not single, but meaning like a woman, a unique woman, saying something to you is going to shatter your world like this. Like, oh, please get over it. And also, by the way, you're welcome for the drama. That's how you're employed on a TV show right now.
Yeah, this guy's a wuss, and I am loving it. I love that they gave Lindsay a toy because like she's just gonna love chewing him up.
A toxic fragile male. It's so perfect. It's great.
So Kenny's like, yeah, you know, this has been really hard, and it's like, you know, and then Gavin, you're like poking the fire, and Gavin's like, yeah, I was poking because we had Kenny in this like nice situation. I know Kenny can handle it. What has Kenny ever done to make you think that Kenny can handle it? Do you guys really know each other? Because Kenny cannot handle it, sir.
No, I don't think Gavin was sincere with that, but I think he was challenging Kenny to handle it. He was like, oh, I know you're about to try to dump this on me, but I'm going to turn it around. Like, oh, of course, Kenny can handle it. Can't you, Kenny? Like, that's sort of what the undertone I got, the subtext. Mm. And Kenny's like, well, it came across very judgy. And then she was making comments about like all men and this and that. And she just came across the wrong way. Like she literally did not say all men. Unless there's something that's on the editing room floor. Like, sir, you projected that. You projected your guilty conscience because you do act like a fuckboy and you do act like the stereotype guy, like douchey VC finance bro guy that causes all these think pieces about men.
Yeah, douche. So Nick's like, well, was it projecting or coming from a good place? What do you think, Nick? You think Kenny thinks it's coming from a good place? Come on, Nick. And yeah. Gavin's like, I think she was just trying to be a girl's girl. He's like, you know what? You're rubbing me the same way, honestly, that you rubbed me that night, where it was like a dog pile. And Lindsay has her little crew and her little minions. And for some reason, you're like standing over there with Lindsay. You're supposed to be my minion, man.
Yeah, I know. I can't. Lindsay was such a monster. There she was recruiting minions. Why aren't you being my minion? God, like I love that logic there.
But I love that Lindsay pinpointed this guy as a douche the second she met him. And she's like, oh, wow, this girl's moving all. First of all, the girl's moving all the way over here to be on TV. Like, let's come on. So let's call it like it is. But Lindsay's like, she's moving all this way. So that's pretty serious. You better treat her right. And he's taking it this way. And the girl's all offended. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe that this woman is talking about my relationship. She doesn't know my relationship. Like, Whitney gets all defensive. And then they show, like, coming next week, Whitney being like, well, I told him, like, I moved all this way for you and I can move out just as easily. I'm like, see, dummy.
Yep. So Kyle's like, oh, Gavin is used to Kenny being in a relationship, but he's like, he's used to Kenny probably being in like a bad relationship where he's like unhappy and like Gavin's there for him and like, yeah, let's have a boys' night. But I don't think Gavin's used to Kenny being in a relationship where he's happy. And I think that's like what we're dealing with here. And Gavin feels like he's about to lose his boy. I'm like, that may be true, but I still think that Kenny is the one who's really in the wrong here. So Kenny's like, well, maybe I'm being overprotective, overly sensitive. It's a real possibility, you know? And Andrea's like, yes, always defend your woman. He's like, yeah. And then Kenny is like, yeah, I mean, Lexi's been great, by the way. She loves Lexi. Lexi's been like so nice. Look, they're even having a dinner right now. And it cuts to Lexi and Whitney trying to shoot a scene. And there's some New York City emergency that's happening across the street. It's like fire truck after fire truck. And Lexi's like, so how are you feeling? I mean, moving in together, that's a big step. Like, you can't even shoot a scene.
It's like, oh my God, there's like so many fire trucks here. This is like crazy. Like, are we even supposed to do? I mean, welcome to New York, I guess, right?
God, New York, home of like fire emergencies. So it goes back to boys' night. And Kenny is like, you know, we're going to do a kind of welcome to New York party. Yeah, we're going to throw it at a place that people hop on a train and leave New York to go to the suburbs for. It's like Grand Central. So I hope you guys come to it. Because, you know, we're boys. We spend time together. I want her to feel comfortable and welcomed by this group.
And Kyle's like, well, listen, Amanda and I have been going through a lot, so she probably won't come. And they're like, yeah, we know, Kyle. She never comes. He's like, yeah, she's been in like a no new friends headspace, so don't expect her to be nice to your girlfriend. And Andrea's like, well, you know, I'm not, I'm team Amanda and Kyle. Well, yeah, I'm trying to be receptive and open-minded, but I don't know. She's like, she's waiting for me to do something stupid, so she just leave. And she did tell me she's moving out of the apartment. They're like, whoa, damn.
Yeah, she keeps talking about this for like a month or two or something like that. And Kenny's like, yo, listen, Kyle, bro, I think that speaks for itself. I am team Kyle and Amanda, but I'm also team Kyle and I'm team Amanda. And if there's not team Kyle and Amanda, you need to take space and see how it feels. And maybe it feels great for you, bro. Like, be single, man. So that way Gavin gets off my ass. Thank you.
So then we go back to, Lindsay and Yvonne in the park, and they're getting ready for, wait. No, they're just at Gramercy Park. Sorry, they show the neighborhood on the screen. I'm like, why aren't they getting ready in a park?
We're going to do our makeup in the bird fountain. So Lindsay's like, my life last year has been like so ultra serious, and I almost feel like I'm coming out the other end. Like, now I can have fun, like 1 o'clock. And Yvonne's like, yeah, this is called self-love. It's like, you deserve this. Like, it's time to have some fun at last. And Lindsay is saying how, you know, it's like not easy to go out in the town like she used to, because like
Yvonne and I are hospitality girls. And when I was 23, I was like running this entire city. Like, you can go up 5 feet without someone saying, like, how do I get into Pizza Beach? And I was opening up a club and restaurants and hotels and lounges every single month.
Yeah. And so basically Yvonne is always calling to go out, and Lindsay's, we see her calling and she's like, hi, Lindsay. Can you meet me at like 11 for a drink? And she's like, I love this. No. No, I can't. And Lindsay's like, or Yvonne's like, yeah, she's always like, I'm a mom. I mean, that's nice. She does say yes sometimes, though. So, you know, I'm going to try it.
Lindsay, there's this really cool pop-up bagel place, but it only is open between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. I was thinking that we could go. I can't go. I'm a mom. Okay, well, there's also this, like, new, like, bowling alley. It's called Club Club, and it's opening up tonight. Do you want to go to the opening?
I can't go, Yvonne. Stop it.
Drinks are actually half price because last week someone got hit on the head with a bowling ball on the dance floor. So had some bad press, but yeah, I wanted to try. It was built on crypto. Yeah. So
it's a brutalist bowling alley. Don't you? Have you always wanted to go to that, Lindsay?
So, Lindsay moves the conversation to Kenny. She's like, oh my God, I'm so surprised that Kenny invited me, because like, he was telling Andrea that he doesn't even like me and like, all this stuff. And I was like, what? Like, he said I pressured him to propose to his girlfriend. Like, what is he even talking about?
So now we go to Danielle and Owen, and Danielle's like, I just think that there's like, here's this party I'm throwing for you. So you forget that about the lack of closet space that you have in my apartment. Which, by the way, I 100% agree is what this party was. There's something kind of performative about this party, about Kenny throwing like a welcome to New York party for her. I don't know why. It feels like so like he's like constructing an image of himself as this guy who's like, look at the beautiful things I do for her. But he's actually barely giving her any space in this apartment.
I think it's performative. I think he's being TV. He's like, okay, I got this girl on the hook because she knows I'm going to be on a TV show. So now she's going to move here, and now I'm going to have a filmed party for her
Yeah.
Here we go. You know, he's giving her the full experience to try and keep her.
Right. So, and then Owen's like, hey, when has my party? And she's like, you're not getting a party. So do you think we'll ever get to a stage where I don't have just like one little closet and then your stuff isn't in the living room like this? Because Danielle has like clothing on like a rack in the living room, and she's like, we don't have any space. And it's like, but I think, like, come on, I think I deserve a little bit more space. And we see he gets like this tiny little shelf that's like all his, he gets like a sweatshirt space and that's it.
Yeah. And he's like, well, how are you feeling about tonight? Because you haven't seen Lindsay lately. And she's like, yeah, turned down. Like, she turned me down. I mean, that's the right word for it. I mean, I'm nervous. I'm anxious. There's like tons of history there, you know? Like, I made a pie chart about it. He's like, oh, God, not again, please. So now we go to Grand Central for Whitney's big party, and everyone's dressed up and arriving and looking fabulous. And so Kenny is nice to Lindsay. He says, nice to see her and stuff, and greets her. And Lindsay and Amanda chat, and Katie's with them. And so Lindsay's like, so how was your anniversary? And Amanda's like, yeah, we had a really nice time at dinner and drinks and stuff. Did you, Amanda? You remember that there were cameras there, right? That looked fucking horrible.
remember how you told Kyle you were going to move out on your anniversary dinner that you're talking about right now? was that the nice time at dinner part, or was it when you started talking to the guys in khakis and blue button down shirts and white t-shirts and telling them how your relationship was ending? Like, what was the fun time part?
It's like, I had fun. So she says, yeah, I told Kyle I'm moving out. And it's like, oh my God, you yeah, but then I like explained to him that I'm just going to find somewhere temporary, you know, like we're not separating. We're not calling anything off. We're just going to see where it goes, you know, see if West ever, you know, breaks up with all the other girls he's dating.
Yeah, seriously. So now Gavin is standing with Kenny and talking to Whitney and talking about like being, I guess, flirting versus charming or whatever. And Kenny is like, you're in terms of like flirting versus charming. He's like, you're churting, because it's like charming and flirting together. And then Gavin kisses Whitney on the cheek, which I was like, sir, you should not be doing that. Because he does that thing. He does the thing with the hand. He is a little bit too much. Like, I think that is, I think that's like, like the grabbing of the face and then kissing on the cheek. Actually, maybe he didn't grab Whitney's face. But either way, I feel like that is, regardless of this whole situation, that is still your guy's girl. And I was like, maybe don't do that.
Kissing on the cheek?
No, because it's like he it's like if you're talking about flirting, or I don't know, there was like a, it was not like a, oh, hi, nice to see you. It was, he like, obviously Lindsay clocked it. He's like, whoa, I thought. She was like, I thought you were just about to kiss me. It just sort of, it's more like it's an out of context kiss that comes out of nowhere that it's like, whoa. I just wouldn't do that to my bros lady.
Well, I'm going to keep my tongue out of Dom's mouth next time I see him. Something Dom's here. So then Andrea is whispering to Katie, oh, I brought a little surprise for Lindsay. And we see this douche that he's brought. Oh my God.
Frank, did you recognize
DaCosta
him?
I didn't, and I saw a post on Reddit of who he was. He was with Kelly Dodd, right? Was that his thing?
Wasn't he the milkman of Lisa Barlow, Milkman Infamy?
Lisa Barlow, Milkman? Why do I not remember that?
Remember the garden party? It's like, why don't you go back to your milkman? Wasn't that a thing? Wait. Lisa Barlow,
Milkman.
Am I crazy? Am I just mixing things up? The phrase. Okay, the milkman mix up is this. Oh, you're right. Wait, oh, that's right. Kelly Dodd did go on a date with this milkman guy, but I thought there was something with Lisa Barlow. Oh, soup man. Sorry, everyone.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah. That I remember.
Right. Yeah, like, I remember that there was like a milkman, but I didn't remember that was Kelly Dodd.
Yeah, Frank went out with Kelly Dodd. She took him to Watch What Happens Live. And yeah, if you look it up, Kelly Dodd's milkman, Frank DaCosta.
Wow.
I forgot that he was the milkman, though. Oh, but I did recognize him, and I looked up Frank DaCosta. I could not find him anywhere. There's like a gaffer or something named Frank DaCosta, but I couldn't find him. And I was like, I know the face. Is he from Bachelor? Because he does have that. Kind of older, but like completely bowling ball. What am I trying to say? When they shine the bowling balls, he's got that kind of polished face, which by the way, that's my goal. But, there was something just like,
when he
wax
says,
figure-y about him, or like he just looks like he looks like beef jerky, but well polished beef jerky.
He looks like wax fruit. Like it was like you put on the table, right? Or like a pastry.
If the fruit was a piece of bacon.
Yeah. It's like sugar glazed bacon. And so I sort of recognized him. And then when he said that he started a milk and dairy company, I was like, we've met a milk and dairy person before on Bravo. I was like, I could have sworn. So then I was thinking milkman, and I was like, aha, Lisa Barlow. And I was so proud of myself. But of course, how could I be so foolish? Lisa Barlow was with a soup man, allegedly, not a milkman.
With Kelly the Dodo.
Okay.
So yeah, that's Frank just still trying it with the reality show. So he's back, and Andrea wants to hook him up with Lindsay. So he's like, I think two people are amazing and they're single. You try to get them together. You know, Frank remembered Lindsay. He even remembered the color of dress she wore. Is that supposed to be romantic or that he's just not a fucking moron?
I know.
Is that crazy to remember the color of someone's dress?
This guy also went on a date with Kelly Dodd. So then Lindsay is like, so where are you from originally? He's like, Michigan. And I moved to New York and I started a milk and dairy company.
Wow, milk and dairy.
And Lindsay tells us, Frank is so fucking hot. I'm like, he's dressed like he's doing Night at the Roxbury, but that's fine. And he's like, so I don't like to party, do you? She's like, oh, no, those days are gone. I have a 10-month-old baby, and she's like the most perfect baby on earth. And she's like the milk version of a baby. I'm trying to speak to you.
He's asking you if you have Coke. Okay, have we had a baby for this long, Lindsay? She's like, yeah, oh my God, it's been so long since I've been flustered and like this. I'm like sweating. Lindsay, come on.
Not with this guy. So then she goes up to the other girls and she's like,
oh my God, like Andrea brought this guy to talk to me and he's like, I'm like drinking espresso martini and eating cheese and meats and like my breath is so bad. I need to spray something in my mouth. Oh my God.
And Yvonne's like, don't worry. I got this at a new bar called Banaka. It's like got these amazing, they've got these dollar drafts that are in the shape of a boot, but they also you can spray Banaka beer in your, just drink, just take this.
Banaka beer. So Danielle arrives, ton, 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 and Lindsay's like, ew, gross, and looks away. Lindsay's so mature. So she's trying to make conversation and ignore Danielle, and Danielle just comes up and says hi, and she's like,
hello, uh-huh,
and gives her a little hug, but then she immediately walks away.
Yeah. She's like, oh, hi. Then she walks, as she pretends like, as if she didn't see Danielle. So then Lindsay is like, she's like, what's going on right now? And Yvonne's like, yeah, what is going on? She's like, well, Danielle, just like shown up and give me a kiss on the cheek to say hi. It's like, yeah, you're in a party. This is what people do.
What when a they bitch. Know each other.
So then Danielle is like really upset. She's like, wow, like she stiffed me for like wanting to go out to for a coffee and chat. And now she like can't even say like two sentences to me. I just feels like I'm a stranger to her now. Like it just sucks.
Yeah, Danielle, I would feel for you, but you're not making any of this effort until the cameras start rolling. Like, you haven't been on Summer House for a while. There was some time here that has elapsed that you've been fine with it until the TV cameras were back up and you need an ally. Sorry, sister.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Danielle's like sad about it. And Kyle is chatting with friends about missing his mullet. Yikes. And Amanda is complaining that Kyle keeps walking right past her. Well, how's that different from the past 10 years?
But also like, I guess she wants to be courted right now. But it's kind of like, I'm moving out. Wait, pay attention to me.
Yeah, exactly.
So then Nick is talking to Kyle about the mullet, et cetera. And finally he's like, Kyle's like, oh, wait, there's Amanda. I should probably say hi. Okay. Hey, Amanda, what's going on? This place is busy. Wow, train station, am I right? Isn't it crazy? And she's like, wow. I'm like, why didn't you say hi to me? He's like, I thought we were separate. I guess I walked by you, whatever. She's like, well, I heard your voice right behind me. I was like, oh, Kyle's here. I could feel the vibration in the chest of you talking. I was like, oh, God, Kyle's here. I'm like, so what do you want out of this experience right now? Like, you're like, why didn't you come over? Why didn't you come and say hi to me so I could complain about how you're here?
Yes, I could diss you. Oh, God. We also have to mention that we're recording this after we just recorded, you know, 2.5 hours on the Summer House finale where Amanda was just unbearable, so that's part of this.
I know, we're like
not like, fuck off, Amanda. But yeah, neither one of them are really putting forth the effort that's ever going to make this work. So yeah. She's like, did you feed the dogs? Yeah. Did you take them out? No.
I don't know why
you so fed funny. The dogs but didn't take them out. Look, Amanda sucks on that reunion, but come on, Kyle. Who feeds the dogs and doesn't take them out? That's literally insane. Anybody with a dog knows that's not how that works. You feed a dog, they immediately poop. Okay?
I just really missed having the ongoing mess around, so I just let them poop on the floor. I just got used to you. What can I say? So Kenny is like, guys, gather around. I want to give a toast to Whitney. This is her welcome to New York party. She is the best person that I know and the best person in my life. And I'm so excited to be dragging her across the country to New York. So anyone who might think that I'm not going to treat her well without a commitment is a crazy person. So get out of my face. Cheers to Whitney. And you get no closet space.
Oh, and I came on the subway.
He's like, wow, yeah, she took the subway for the first. Get the fuck out of here. You're in Grand Central Station. This is not the way to ingratiate your girlfriend to everybody.
I know.
Like, welcome to New York. I took a subway. Everyone there is like, hick.
I know.
Get out of here.
Although, by the way, I actually went to this bar like about a year ago, and it was a very, very cool bar. So I don't have to say, if you're in Grand Central, go check it out.
Well, so, I just meant like saying like, wow, I'm on a subway. Like, you're literally in a train station.
Yeah. Like, you're like, you don't get an award for riding the subway in New York City. People don't when they're
yeah,
like,
that bar, when it came out, I remember reading articles about it. It had a lot of like gorgeous pictures and stuff on it.
Yeah. I went there with our friends, Michelle and Lauren, and they had excellent martinis. So then,
might want to call those girls because we're coming home.
Baby's coming home. See everyone at Grand Central. We're
coming home. We need to have a hangout night. We plan that. I know that we're at work right now, but we need to plan that. I need to see them.
Yeah, we will.
Thank you.
Carry on. You're welcome.
Carry on with your job.
Well, yeah, they're going to come to the show on Friday, so we'll probably hang out with them on Friday at the very least.
That does not count.
I know, but like after the show, you know. We'll just make our social plans here in the middle of this. So then anyway, so he makes a speech. Okay. And then Kyle starts talking to Danielle. And good old, we've been so distracted with this whole scandal that we forgot that some of the bullshit that Kyle gets up to. He's like, hey, Danielle, did you and Lindsay get the lace memo? Cause you're both wearing lace. She's like, no. Oh, okay.
We don't talk. How would we get a memo? Although I do love memos. He's like, sorry, I didn't mean to trigger you. Can we talk? Let's talk about this because we're on TV now. I got to keep this shit rolling. Okay. So Kenny's like, oh, fill me in on the tidbits because I got a bone to pick as well. Fuck off, Kenny.
Okay. Guess what? We'll fill you in on the tidbits the moment you stop saying things like fill me in on the tidbits.
Seriously. So Kyle's with Danielle. He's like, oh, all right, you know, in an alternative universe, I was joking, you and Lindsay could have coordinated a little lace. You know, did you get it? I was like, I was joking. I just want to make sure you got it.
Listen, I didn't mean to be like insensitive. I know the lace thing is an issue. You know, it's your favorite fabric, but I'm trying to broker a common ground. Oh, can I be on a spinoff? Someone say something about common ground. Kyle, get out of here. You're not on the show. Okay. We're too close knit. Sort of like lace itself, for there to be awkwardness. She's like, yeah, well, clearly not. She's like, well, I just like confront her now and squash it. You own it. She owns it. And absolutely nothing else that happens in this little conversation will make it 10 times worse. Okay. So just talk about it right now.
Yeah. But she literally texted me that summer and she said, like, you said something punchy. He's like, oh, well, the beach was harsh. And then we see the beach where Lindsay's like, yeah, so, you know, I'm moving into this place. And Danielle's like, you don't even live with him and you're having a whole baby with him?
That is harsh, but it's also like something Lindsay, I feel like, would say to someone as well. So Kyle,
exactly. Like, that's kind of what she just did to the other guy. So it's like, well, why is Lindsay so pissed? But that wasn't all that Danielle did. That's just all they put in the clip. I mean, Danielle and Lindsay had been downhill for two summers at that point.
Yeah, they have such a dysfunctional relationship now. So Kyle is like, well, that beach was harsh. And like, now she has all sorts of opinions about you and how you've carried yourself. And like, I think Lindsay said, I don't want to say the word slut. Oh, wait, I don't want to say the word obnoxious whore. What's the phrase? Harlot? No, like moral.
Yeah, right, I don't want to say the word slut shaming, so I'll say the word slut disapproving. Okay, she's disapproving of you, slut.
I don't think she said the phrase worst person in the world, and yes, I am including people who are in office. No, that wasn't the phrase she said. What did she say?
Lady and the. Come on, it's coming to me. It's coming to me. It's coming to me.
Something about like puddle of ooze. I would rather hang out with that clown from the movie It. No, she didn't say that.
And we see a flashback to Lindsay telling him,
before Carl and I got engaged, she gave him a hand job in the back of an Uber a week after we broke up.
But I don't remember the history here. Didn't Danielle date Carl first? Like, they were all hanging out as friends. Then Danielle dated Carl, but then that didn't work out. And then Lindsay took Carl for a ride and that didn't work out. And then Danielle hooked up with Carl again. And then Lindsay
got back together with Carl and then they became like official, right?
Yeah. And I think it's kind of crazy to like go all the way back to that hand job because they were all being messy that summer. All of them were. And Carl deserves as much blame for whatever this was as Danielle would. And I don't know. They're just all being one big messy crew. And so like, if Lindsay is upset that Danielle violated girl code by doing that, I think Danielle also has a right to be upset at Lindsay for violating girl code there too, I suppose. I don't know. I don't even care about that trio.
It's not even about that. It's not like, about that. She's making it about that because she doesn't want to say what it really is, which is Danielle said that she was moving too fast with Carl and that that whole relationship needed to slow down because neither of them was in a place where they needed to be getting married. And Lindsay got pissed off that Danielle wasn't supporting her. And now Danielle turned out to be completely right about that. So Lindsay doesn't want to say that because she's pissed about something that Danielle turned out to be right about, even if Danielle could have been more supportive in that moment.
Yeah. You know? But what's also funny is that like when Lindsay was listing all the things that, you know, that like Danielle, how Danielle was not supportive of her in the past or was not a great friend, the hand job thing was like a small bullet point. And the fact that that's the thing that Kyle latched onto and now has elevated and now is like, well, she basically was calling you a slut for it. I was like, that was, Lindsay was definitely not. I don't think Lindsay was doing that. I think she was saying Danielle was not being considerate to me. But Carl, I mean, but Kyle is like, his takeaway is, like, wah, hand job. Oh, she calls you a slut, by the way.
Yeah. So he's like, well, the word boy crazy has come up. And she's like, oh my God, are you fucking kidding me? Are you out of your mind bringing this to me? And he's like, don't shoot the messenger. She's like, fuck that. Like, what do you expect me to do? Like, what do you think is going to come from that, Kyle? Like, now I'm supposed to walk up to her and be like, hey, can we have a conversation? No, I'm not doing that.
The way he just totally destroyed that entire situation is hilarious. Yeah.
Well, she knows exactly what he's doing it because he's been doing this producer thing for 10 years. And she's like, yeah. Enough, sir.
So now Georgina is talking to Andrea and Frank. And Georgina, okay, either you're a terrible liar or a terrible dermatologist because she goes, wow, you're so tan, which means that you were out in the sun without sunscreen, but I'll let it pass. But you know, like, you know, it looks good. You're looking good. And he's like, yeah. And they basically are like, wow, he has such good skin. I'm like, he does not have good skin.
Talking, looks like a baseball glove. What are you guys talking about? So Lindsay goes over to grab Kenny for a chat and she's like, first of all, lovely party, lovely speech. And he's like, okay, thank you. Thank you for coming. Well, thank you for inviting me. I did hear that you felt grilled by me at the girl, right? You felt grilled by the girl?
He's like, that's correct. I felt like you were grilling me because you were a woman asking a man a question. And so in my book, that counts as a cross-examination, and I did not appreciate that.
If that were a courthouse and you were the judge, I would have asked for a different judge. So you have boobs. So she's like, but was it just me? And he's like, you were recruiting people. I didn't recruit people. He's like, literally, you were like, literally come over here. She's like, I was asking you questions because that's how to get to know somebody. And this is who I am. Like, I question everyone in my life. And I'm like a very curious person. And I want to get to know everyone's interpersonal relationships. And he's like, yeah, well, I wish it felt genuine like that. You know, you think that line of questioning was normal and everybody just rolling in and piling in on poor little Kenny.
She's like, it's normal in my life with all of my friends, which I think she emphasizes that like you're in my group now. So Kenny's like, was it normal? Is it? Well, I love that for you and your friends because it seems like you have a lot of disagreements with a lot of people. She's like, He goes, yeah, it's just like drama, 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 drama. And it just feels like you're creating these narratives that are just like unnecessary. She asked you questions and she moved on with her life and she was like drinking wine with Devon and like playing with her baby. You're the one who went around to Whitney and then to all the bros at Bro Night to be like, whoa, she's a man hater. Why is she asking these questions? Wow, she seems unhappy in her life. You literally caused this drama and it came back to her and she came here to actually just squash it.
Yeah, and you're just opening it up even more. You're creating narratives that don't exist, which is exactly what you're saying she's doing. You're saying she said that you're like expecting that girl to be engaged or whatever. You're saying that she's saying all this stuff that she never even said, dude. She asked you a question. And also her having problems with everybody, A, that's true because it's Lindsay. B, you have a problem with Lindsay and you have a problem with your own best friend. And that's only in episode 2. So who are you pointing fingers at? Okay. Every time you point, you better look because you got 3 fingers pointing back at yourself and 1 thumb pointing at the bathroom.
Yep. And I love that she does not cower. I love this is classic Lindsay. She is like, she's so good dealing with people like this. Like, this is her bread and butter, our douchebags like this. And she's like,
no, I call out fucking truths and facts. And I'm sorry that you don't like hearing the fucking truth. And he's like, you're grilling me about moving a girl across the country after knowing her for a year. And you had a kid with a guy after 2 fucking months. It's like, sir, the kid is in many ways, the kid is the commitment. And there's no commitment on your end.
Yeah, I mean, I see what he's saying, but he's just so sensitive about what she's saying. She's not saying the stuff he thinks she's saying, you know? He thinks she's saying, like, what is this girl fucking crazy for moving in with you? That's nuts. She's not. She's just saying, that's so fast for her to be moving. You better treat her well. That's it. It's not like this huge thing. But I love that she won't even explain it to him like that because he's getting attitude with her and she is not about to take that from some man. So she like puts that aside and it's like, oh, fuck you. I'll excoriate you then, idiot.
Well, also the thing is with Lindsay and Turner is that I really got the sense that that relationship was kind of like, well, hopefully this works out, but we both want to have a child. So let's have a child. Although I
Lindsay was like, I'm ready.
I think it was still a surprise, but I still think like ultimately like her needs were met. She's like, I want to have a child.
She said very clearly, I'm going to have a child. And if it works out with this man, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I'm here for the baby. You know?
It fulfilled everything that she needed, which is why like when he tries to throw it in her face, it's like it seems like it was perfectly on her terms. And so Kenny is like, well, the problem is don't project your insecurities on my relationship. I mean, Kenny, it's crazy because he is actually doing the thing that they say narcissists do, which is they take everything that they are guilty of and everything that you accuse them of and they turn them around and put them onto the other people. And he's literally doing that right here on her. Like, she was not projecting any insecurities. He was the one who literally dug up this narrative and created it. And now he's going to accuse her of projecting insecurities.
Darvo, deny, attack, reverse victim, and offender.
Wow.
Dun, dun, dun.
I did not know about that. Darvo. Is that like the brat diet? Bananas, rice. I forget what the A stands for. And toasts.
Daiquiris, apples.
Bananas,
Ritalin.
What is the A?
And so she's like, it sounds like you're judging me. And he's like, no, I just don't need to be pressed on my commitment level. And she's like, this guy acts like he knows who I am, but he doesn't know shit. But I know a narcissist man when I see one. So Whitney, good luck. And he's like, you just asked me about bringing someone across the country without a ring. She's like, no, I didn't. And he goes, stop with the nonsense. And she goes, what I said was, and maybe you're not fucking remembering, wow, she moved across the country for you without putting a ring on her finger. That shows commitment.
He goes, that's a normal occurrence.
She goes, that shows. No, it's not. I have multiple girlfriends that would never do that without a ring on their fucking finger.
He goes, well, that's a you thing. And then we see like all the people are like watching like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And Whitney's like, obviously, like I want to stand up for like my man, for like the relationship. And like, that's why I stepped into that conversation at the Garrett when you weren't there, you know? And Amanda's like,
yeah, but I don't think she's questioning your relationship. I think that she just wants what's best for you. And I think that she's just like trying to protect you.
But why is she trying to protect me? Like when we know what we're doing and like, that's like our own decisions, Whitney.
Because she can tell you're an idiot.
Because you seem dumb as a box of chocolates, okay? Because you're the kind of dumb that you take off the lid and you don't even know what kind of dumb you're going to get this day, you know? You just have to roll with it.
You were like the box of chocolates from Forrest Gump, except it's like not about chocolates. It's like the type of dumb. Like, you never know what kind of dumb you're going to get.
Exactly. Like, yeah, the girl's dumb as box of chocolates. You don't know if you're getting nutty this day or just completely empty inside.
Yeah, Lindsay's like, I am offering my services pro bono to be your attorney. That's why I'm doing this. So Georgina's like, oh, well, you know what? She's just a mom and she's just a mama bear. It's just her personality. Don't worry about it. And then Kenny's like, I just think you have drama that follows you around everywhere you go. It's like, well, like, I don't have time for drama. I don't care for that. He's like, well, think about it. You're in the middle of a fight with me in the middle of Whitney's Welcome to New York party. is that dramatic? I'm like, she called you over to squash something and then
she called you over to smooth it over. You started a fight. So you're right. Yes, it is dramatic. And you are the drama queen.
And then Lindsay goes, well, you're the one that's fighting with me. He goes, okay. She goes, thank you for inviting me. And she walks away.
Yeah, he's like, glad you came. Ugh. Oh, God, I can't wait to just see his life get turned upside down on this show because she is going to railroad. And this girl, Whitney's not, please say she's not dumb enough to stay with him. She doesn't seem very bright, but God, hope she's brighter than this. I hope that Whitney, you know, because it's obviously going to be terrible. This guy's horrid. So hopefully it's horrid. I mean, I don't hope for her that it's horrid, but it's obviously going to be. So hopefully we go through that. And then she gets the storyline of like, now I'm just the girl who moved to this city for a guy, but now I'm going to stay for the relationships. And now we're going to watch Whitney's season of like becoming single. Because this guy sucks. So yeah. Amanda is talking to Lindsay now about looking. Oh, no. Now they go for apartment tour. By the way, these are not Airbnbs that Amanda's looking for.
No.
Amanda is walking into a full ass apartment. That's going to require a lease. Amanda never planned on this being a
never.
I don't care what she's saying.
Yeah, never. So they're looking at places with Lindsay and this lady, and she's looking for a furnished Montemore outdoor space, doorman, sunlight. I was like, wow, that's a lot.
And she's like, yeah, the last apartment I looked at before moving in with Kyle, our budget was next to nothing. So she's talking about before Kyle. I took this wrong when I watched it. And I thought she was saying my first apartment with Kyle was nothing. And I was like, that is not true. Kyle was rich back then, too.
Yeah, he was.
They got a banging apartment back then, but she's not. She was talking, I guess, about her roommate. So they're looking at this place, and Lindsay's asking if she's talked to her parents about this. And she's like, no, I don't want to make them worried. No, you don't want to hear the I told you so and stop fucking your best friend's boyfriend.
And then Amanda tells a really weird story from her childhood. She's like, I hate change so much. Like when I was younger, I handcuffed myself to our cast iron railings in our house because my parents wanted to get beautiful, new, solid wooden ones. And I didn't want them to change them. But at that point, whatever I'm going through has been enough and I need to make a bigger change. So you've just always had terrible taste. That's what you're saying.
You're fighting over wooden spindles.
Yeah. She's like, let me handcuff myself to this heavy, awful thing. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I wasn't trying to fat shame Wes. I meant more like it was a sinking.
sinking ship. No. I took it. Listen, we both watch HGTV. I took that as spindle shame.
When I said heavy, I meant in terms of like this thing is going to drag you down. It wasn't a shaming.
Well, he's not fat, so
he's not. But I mean, people could have thought I was saying it like that, and I wasn't. Yeah. I will shame many other.
Straight up for spindles, okay? Spindles shaming is still legal for now.
This is a pure old. This is Bannister shaming.
Yeah.
How did she get access when she was little? How did she get access to handcuffs to attach herself?
That was my question. I was like, where did handcuffs come from?
Were they toy handcuffs or something? Like, how did this happen?
I don't know. So, this is weird. The story's weird, basically. And she's like, but I just want to be happy. I want to be with someone that like adores me and possibly four other girls at the same time. And Lindsay's like, well, he needs to understand that you're going to fucking lose her if you don't get it together, Kyle.
Yeah. So now we go to Kyle FaceTiming his mom. I love his mom. And she's like, dad just got a precancerous melanoma removed. And so that's going to come out. We're just hoping for a better 2026. Good 2026. Nice. Come back here.
Like, she's actually like, yeah, you know, they're going to have a procedure to remove it tomorrow. You know, terrible cancer. And Kyle's like, all right, yeah, that's terrible. Mom, dad's cancer and everything. All right, here's what's going on with Amanda. Jeez. Yeah. Can you give your dad a moment?
He's like, yeah, we had a rough summer and we've kind of been in this place before. Even when we had a good summer, it quickly falls apart. Like, we don't do anything together. I mean, I'm like, let's do pickleball. Let's do kickball. Let's do basketball, football. Like, how about not sports? He's like, all she wants to do is shop. I'm like, well. Like, maybe offer something other than pickleball.
But this is literally their whole relationship. I don't understand why they're acting like this stuff between each other is all new. I mean, Kyle has wanted, remember when Kyle's like, my whole family goes skiing, that's what we do. And Amanda's like, I hate skiing.
and he makes me skin.
And he's like, but that's all I enjoy doing with my family. She won't even try. And she's like, because I hate it. It's like, you guys have always been so miserable. But, you know, Kyle's upset because he's like, she's finally leaving and she's separating and she's moving out and he's kind of crying. And then the mom starts crying and she's like, oh, I just didn't, you know, I want you guys to be happy and this isn't good for you. And I was like, good for you, Jane, because this is kind of this is a good mom scene. You know, we haven't had a ton of those on Bravo lately. I was like, I hope Sharon's watching this.
This was a really good mom scene. And I did like that when she said, you know, think of dad. He was in a 10-year marriage and he knows what it's like to be stuck. And he had two kids. I think she was basically saying it's not too late. Go on, flourish, spread your
wings. It is interesting, though, isn't it? That the dad was in a 10-year marriage and left it. He left the wife and then he ended up finding the love of his life. So,
yeah.
See, can't although, what
didn't they have? Didn't they have like a cheating scandal? The Kyle's mom and dad.
I don't know, because she's wording it the way she's wording it now. She said he had a 10-year marriage, then he got out of it, and that left him free to come and find me. So, or that gave me a chance to, you know, find him. So, I don't know.
Either way, I thought it was a nice scene, and the mom's really crying, and it was sweet because she just wants Kyle to be happy. And God, I would love to. I just want to crash their family reunion because, you know, that entire family just gets wasted. They go on to like Lake Winnipesaukee. They're playing, you know, Jimmy Buffett or Fish or something, and they're grilling and they're just getting drunk as a family up there in New Hampshire. God.
Yeah, they're partying for sure, that family.
They're like a fun family. You know they're a fun family. And then mom puts out good food.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, the city. That's something. That's a lot of Kyle and Amanda relationship talk today. Good Lord. Well, at least tomorrow we're on to the glorious, beautiful relationships of the valley.
Seriously. Well, everyone, thank you so much for being here. We love having you here on this big, epic summer house and in the city day. And we will catch you all tomorrow. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She answered the call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with K. Rob.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
house.
She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs. It's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess. It's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie. It's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop. It's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose. It's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.